Here's a long-standing mystery. Why are so few mammals monogamous? It's a huge deal among humans, of course, having a lifelong single mate, but it's extremely rare among mammals except for some higher-order primates. What was the evolutionary pathway to monogamy, as imperfectly as we have arrived there? Two studies published this week suggest something of an answer. While we might think of monogamy as all about women demanding loyalty from the roaming, shall we say, Anthony Weiner-like proclivities of men, these studies suggest that men might need monogamy more from an evolutionary context. You may have seen some of the interesting discussions online after these studies were published. One study in the journal Science suggested that a small number of available females among early primates encouraged males to select a single mate and maintain loyalty as a survival mechanism. And a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences argues that males are imprinted to be monogamous as a response to the threat of infanticide by staying near their mother after birth. That conclusion came from analyzing the behavior patterns of more than 200 primates. Kit Opie is an evolutionary anthropologist at the University College in London, was lead author on that study, joins me now. Kit, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi.
So males seem to benefit, or in evolutionary terms, based on this data, males seem to directly benefit from monogamy more than females, based on what you're seeing?
It's not so much that they benefit more. It's just that we wanted to explain why it was that primates were so different from the pattern that you've just described in mammals. And the threat to infants is from rival males who might kill the infant. And then that, of course, would be a disaster for both the parents. At least the female knows that the infant is hers. So in instances where the male is pretty sure that the infant is his, it's clearly in his interests then to provide protection for them.
And what behaviors do you see in monogamous primate relationships that protect the young males and then are passed along to the next generation?
Well, what we found is, as you said, that there's an evolutionary pathway here. So from, first of all, infanticide evolving during primate evolution, then we see monogamy arising. And then following that, we see males getting involved in the care of their infants. So as well as protecting them from rival males, they're also carrying them, providing them with cleaning, grooming, and so on. And of course, in the case of humans, actually providing them with food.
So there is a direct evolutionary pathway from the roaming mammalian male who finds mates wherever he can to the protective fatherly male, all the way to the sensitive kind of doing the housework, cleaning and grooming male that you might see in a sensitive male household in West London?
That's what we think we've seen taking place a number of times across the primate order. Yes, there are a number of instances where we've seen this switch, and before the switch takes place, we think that the primates were in what we call multi-male, multi-female groups, where there would have been a lot of promiscuous sex. So, for example, in chimpanzees and bonobos today, that's exactly what we see, is that the female also, in order to protect the infant from infanticide, is having sex with all of the males within that group. So then when the infant arrives, all of the males have got some kind of idea that that infant might be his, and therefore he's kind of mildly protective towards him, but does absolutely nothing else towards that infant at all. And the female does all the care and brings up that infant. And yes, from that situation, then we see it's the infanticide that is the crucial question. And in those circumstances, a male who is the father of the infant sticks around and looks after the infant for the first period when the infant is particularly vulnerable. And what we find is that this is in large-brained species within primates. And obviously that's why we think it's different from other mammals, because primates are typically larger brained than other mammals.
So it's Anthony Weiner's chimpanzee brain that may be encouraging to behave in such a wretched manner. What surprised you, based on what you thought about going into this, about the results that you got?
Well, that they were so strong, that we didn't find any transitions to monogamy without the infanticide already have evolved in these various species, these various places where monogamy did evolve. We were testing three possible proposals for how monogamy had arisen. Either it was because of males caring for infants straight off, or that males were looking after females and protecting them from rival males and stopping the rival males mating with them, or infanticide. And we thought, you know, it's a kind of, we weren't sure which one of those was likely to be right. And the results were absolutely clear that it was infanticide every time that was the crucial issue. But then once infanticide had got monogamy to kick in, then we saw all the you know, if you like, the flowering of male involvement, and of course in humans, it goes further in terms of actually providing them with food. But there are lots of monogamous primates around the world, particularly in South America, that are providing all the kind of typical features of paternal care that you would imagine: grooming, cleaning, carrying, all that kind of stuff. It is pretty sweet. So although it may not have been the most romantic reason why monogamy started in the first place, I think there's a kind of silver lining that afterwards those males are being pretty caring for those infants.
Well, it's fascinating. Kit Opie is an evolutionary anthropologist at University College in London. What do you think? Does monogamy benefit men or women? Do you have an evolutionary pathway either out of monogamy or towards it? We'd love to know what you think. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.